Hi everybody, this is Gigi, and I want to welcome you to this audio course that's entitled Anxiety Bursting and Confidence Building for Preemie and Special Needs Parents. I'm so glad you're here because anxiety is such a huge emotion that so many of us feel, and many times we don't really know how to deal with it. So I'm hoping our time today will help you with your feeling of anxiety and really start giving you some tools that you can start using that will help you become much more confident and less anxious. Okay, so are we ready to get started? Okay, let's go. So what exactly is anxiety and why are we focusing on it? Especially given that as preemie and special needs parents, you're probably feeling or have felt just a whole gamut of emotions. Why anxiety? It's a very good question. In my coaching practice, where I have the honor of coaching just a wide variety of parents, anxiety by far is the most frequent emotion parents experience, struggle with, or ask me for help in dealing with, especially preemie and special needs parents. Why is this? There have been a number of studies that have been done to show that not only is there an increased level of anxiety in preemie and special needs parents, but that for many of these parents, this increased anxiety happens many months and even years post the event, so post NICU or post the diagnosis of your child. This is huge. I often say, and say a lot and have said in the past, and will probably continue to say, that once you're home with your child who's been born prematurely or a child with special needs, that's when you really need the most help, once you're home. And that's oftentimes when we receive the less amount of help, or no, the least amount of help. But it's when we need it the most. And we kind of have this mistaken assumption by the medical world, by the system, particularly in the United States, that you're okay. Once you're home, you're fine. And this is most definitely not the case for many of us. When we're home is when we really struggle. And for many of us, in many ways, it's when our journey is just beginning or a different phase of our journey is beginning. And what's included in this journey is anxiety. And many of us, we don't know how to deal with it. A lot of the studies I mentioned earlier identified anxiety as PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm pretty sure many of you have heard about that. But they were really talking about anxiety. And we really need to work or to do better as a society and as a community, as a NICU and special needs community, to really start supporting parents in that post phase. Because I think we're dropping a lot of us. We're not really supporting us the way we should be supported. Okay, that's my 2 cents on the system failures. But back to anxiety. What exactly is it? What does it mean? There are many definitions, but a really common definition of anxiety is this: to have an abnormal or overwhelming sense of fear or apprehension that's often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, feeling very tense, having an increased pulse, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope. Now this last part, the self-doubt part, is huge and is key to what we're talking about today. Because if left unchecked, this self-doubt can have serious adverse effects on your ability and your confidence to parent effectively and authentically. Self-doubt tends to show up so frequently in the parents I work with, and it showed up in my own life as well. But it often turns into this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy of what you think will happen does happen. So if you think you can't cope, that self-doubt, then you don't cope. And this is one of the key reasons that anxiety can be extremely detrimental to you as a parent, as a person, because of how it can put you on this vicious cycle or path of self-doubt. When you start doubting yourself as a person, a parent, a spouse, an employee, whomever, you stop believing in yourself. And when you stop believing in yourself, you simply stop. You become stuck. You're uncertain of where, when, or how to go further. I don't want this I don't want this for you. I really want you to be able to move forward and to grow in every way imaginable. And this is part of why we're here together today. So, we discussed this standard definition of anxiety. But how do you define anxiety? What's your own personal definition? So take a moment to jot down what you think. Okay. For many of us, anxiety can be both subtle and blatant, and it can manifest itself in just a whole range of ways through our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our words. Sometimes we realize it and sometimes we don't. I remember years ago, I was living in California, and I just didn't feel like myself. I was tired a lot. Eventually, I went to the doctor, and that was hard for me to do because I don't go to doctors. I'm not very good with doctors, I have to admit, even though my background is healthcare. Maybe that's why I don't go. But anyway, this doctor asked me if I was anxious, if I was stressed out, and I immediately said, no, of course not. I had such a quick and negative response, and it was largely due to my general understanding of anxiety, what anxiety was. And I thought that it's when you exhibited these very obvious external signs, such as what we talked about earlier, the pacing, the sweating, panicky feeling, worrying. And I wasn't doing any of that. So I thought, no, of course I'm not anxious. But I really was. I was anxious. And my anxiety was manifesting itself very quietly and almost all internally. I wasn't sleeping. That was a huge manifestation for me. And so it's so important to understand what anxiety looks like for you in your world. In my world, it was something different than what I imagined it to be. So let's do this together. I want you to explore what anxiety looks like for you. Okay? Do you even know? Is it internal like it was for me, or is it more external? So we're going to do that by answering this question. How do you know when you're anxious? What are you doing, saying, feeling, thinking? Okay? Let me repeat that. How do you know when you're anxious? What are you doing, saying, thinking, or feeling? Take a moment to jot that down. Your answer to this question is really like your mirror. It's showing your own personal reflection of how anxiety manifests itself in your life. So I want you to take a moment to just sit with this image, this reflection of what anxiety looks like for you. And think about, you don't have to jot this down if you don't want to. It's more of a rhetorical question. But think about what, if anything, does this image or reflection tell you? Okay? Because it's so important to know and understand your own personal picture of anxiety for a number of reasons, but the two key ones I want to talk about today is, number one, so that you can know when it's happening. You can know when you're feeling anxious and it doesn't sneak up on you, but also so that you can have a clear idea of how to address it when it does happen. You know, it's like when we tell our kids, you know, about the monster in the closet. If you don't see it, it becomes more frightening. You're not sure what's going on. But once you face it and you open that closet door and see that shadow was just your jacket hanging in a weird way, it's no longer as scary. Okay? So it's a similar concept here. For me, you know, my external picture was very put together. I was very calm. I was in control. But internally, I was a bundle of nerves. And I had to understand that I had to look at that mirror a little bit more closely and see the external self, my external self. In the NICU, I remember being this kind of crazy super mom, and you probably have seen people like me when you're in the NICU. I was doing everything. I was learning everything they told me. I was just doing everything I could to help my son. And I really felt like if I did everything I was supposed to do, then somehow I would make things better. Somehow I could make him better. But in reality, doing all of those things, you know, I kind of wasn't. I was really not really making them better, and I surely was not making myself better. I was on autopilot, and I wasn't aware of what was happening to me internally. You know, for those 6 months we were in NICU, I was really on autopilot. If you asked me some specifics about what happened, I couldn't tell you. But I don't want that for you. I want you to be much more in tune to what's going on with yourself. So now that we hopefully have a clearer understanding of anxiety, and more importantly, anxiety for you, what it looks like for you, now let's move on into this sort of bursting stage, what I call the anxiety bursting stage. How do you start bursting or breaking up or removing the anxiety in your life so that confidence can begin to be built? Okay, I'm going to start with this quote. And this is a tip for you. You only know what you know when you know it. I'll repeat that. You only know what you know when you know it. Part of this anxiety busting phase is cutting yourself some slack. We, as premium social needs parents, we are notorious and we are experts at beating ourselves up, saying what we could have, should have done or known differently for our child. Stop it. We can't. We can't do it to ourselves. We can't beat ourselves up. We have to know that whatever decisions we've ever made as it relates to our child or children, we made them based off of the knowledge we had at the moment we made them. Okay, I'm going to repeat that and apply it to you. Know that whatever decisions you've ever made as it relates to your child, you made them based off of the knowledge you had at the moment you made them. Okay? You only know what you know when you know it. You only knew what you knew when you knew it. Okay? So following on from this, identifying what anxiety is for you, that's what you know now, let's take it a step further, and I want you to answer this question. What manifestation of anxiety is most prominent for you? Remember I asked you earlier about how do you know when you're feeling anxious? What are you doing, saying, or thinking, or feeling? So which one of those, the doing, saying, thinking, or feeling, which one of those manifestations is most prominent for you when you're anxious? For me, it was my actions, what I was doing or not doing, which I wasn't sleeping. So what's yours? Take a moment to jot it down. Okay. So now we have a clear understanding of anxiety for ourselves. So now let's start this jumpstart into building your confidence. So now this isn't a quick fix. I'm not going to be able to give you this super mom or super dad cape, confidence cape that you can wear around. Actually, you probably can do that. You can do that if you want, and that actually makes it fun. But I guess in some ways we're not going to have an imaginary confidence cape. But it's not going to happen overnight. And really the purpose of this course is to get you started, to begin to get you to start flipping that anxiety switch off more and turning on the confidence switch more often. So here are a couple of simple and effective strategies that you can begin using to start bursting your anxiety and becoming much more confident. So the first one I like to call is the position change and word drop strategy. Now, I made up that name That's not an official name, but it's really a way to describe the concept of the strategy I'm going to share with you now. So stand up, literally remove your bottom from the chair if you can, and word drop, which means to jot down every single word or feeling that shows or describes confidence for you. So basically, I'm telling you to write about confidence standing up. Why am I asking you to do that? There's a lot of research that shows that's proven that changing your position from sitting to standing or from walking to jogging literally helps you view yourself in a situation or something from a different perspective, a fresher, newer perspective. So I'm not asking you to run or jog, but I would like for you to stand up if you're sitting down now. Stand up and just jot down every word or feeling that describes confidence for you. Don't limit yourself. Don't filter out anything. Just let it flow. So take a few moments to do that now, please. Okay, and the second strategy is called choose and act. Choose and act. And the first part of it has three parts. So the first part is look at what you've just written, the list you've just written, the confidence list, and choose two of the confidence words that jumps out at you, the two that really, really, really resonates with you. Okay, you got that? The second thing is to rate each one of those two words on a scale of 1 to 10 with where you feel you are now with each one of them. So with 10, with 1 being you're not doing too well with it, and 10 meaning that you feel you're doing pretty good. So if you rated your confidence, one confidence word, like for me would be advocate, to be a good advocate for your child. And if I rated myself a 2, that would mean that I probably need to do some work in that area because that's something that I really value as a manifestation of confidence, but I'm not actually doing it at the moment. Okay, so the two words that jump out at you, rating them on a scale of 1 to 10. And the third part of this is to think of one thing you feel you can do now to get you to the next level with level on the scale. So from 0 to 1, a 4 to 5, we're talking baby steps here. We're not talking these huge, gigantic leaps from 0 to 5 or 2 to 10. I'm not saying you can't do that, but I don't want it to become overwhelming. I want it to be very doable for you, very practical for you, especially in the short term. So for me, if I rated myself a 2, I would think about what is something I can do to take me from 2 to a 3. If I think being a good advocate shows confidence, maybe I'm not quite ready to speak to the teacher or speak to the therapist or the physician now, but maybe I can begin to find my voice and be a better advocate by jotting things down, jotting what I'm noticing, jotting what I'm thinking. And maybe that's my first baby step. So all those things are part of the choose part. Okay, let's recap those quickly. Choosing two of the words, the confidence words that jump out at you, that really resonates with you, rating them on a scale of 1 to 10, and then thinking of one thing you can do now that will get you to the next level on that scale. Okay, so that's the choosing part of this strategy. Okay, so let's go to the act part. So take a moment to look at what you've written, particularly your answers to the last question about what the one thing you feel you can do now to get you to the next level on the scale. And I'm going to ask you this question, when will you do it? When will you do it? I want you to really value yourself and value your growth and your ability to grow. And allow yourself to be accountable to yourself. Put a date in the calendar and actually do it. And coupled with that is this last question. Who do you feel you need to tell that will help you accomplish this goal of becoming more confident? Now, it doesn't have to be anybody if you don't want it to be, if you don't want to share. But there is a lot of research that shows that if you share your goals with at least one person, you're more likely to actually do them. Now, it doesn't have to be your spouse or a significant other or your best friend. You really want it to be someone that you trust that will give you an honest and genuine type of support that you need. You don't want anyone that's nagging on you, that's saying, yo, Geeky, you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it. What happened? No, you probably will become quite defensive if that happens. But really, you want someone who's warm and compassionate towards your goals, but can gently challenge you and maybe ask, how can I best support you to make this happen for you? Okay, so that's it. That's it for this course, this audio course. So let's do a quick recap. We really talked about anxiety, understanding what it is, but more importantly, understanding what it looks like for you in your life. And then we started looking at understanding that we shouldn't beat ourselves up. Part of releasing that anxiety is not beating ourselves up and cutting ourselves some slack and knowing that we made decisions, the best decisions we could in the moment that we made them. And then we looked at a couple of strategies. And one was really to change our position and start thinking about confidence in a different way. And to choose some confidence words and begin to rate ourselves about where we are with them and thinking about some very clear things we can do to take us to the next level. And we ended up with this concept about creating our support network or finding our support network and having a person or people in our lives that's going to help us on that confidence journey. Okay? So I hope that was helpful for you. If it wasn't, or if you have questions as you're going through these exercises again, going through this course again, and some questions come up for you or some concerns or you find yourself struggling, please, please, please feel free to contact me. Drop me an email. I will respond to you within 24 hours or less. If we need to talk over the phone, we can arrange that once we connect. So I really hope this was helpful, and I really hope that it will move you in the direction that you want to be on towards being much more confident and less anxious in your life. Okay? Take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.